Welcome back, everyone, to the Split Screen Podcast. My name is Shah Shaheed, and if this is your first time hearing this podcast, this is the show where basically I take a movie that's a remake. So far, it's been Bollywood movies mostly because they're just so much more fun. We take a look at a Bollywood movie and we compare it to its original film that it's based on, inspired by, totally ripped off from. However, there are times that the format of the show does take a little bit of a departure, kind of like this episode. And I'm actually very excited to introduce the guest for this episode. It's a guy that I really, really like. I'm a big fan of his, probably his biggest fan. But today's guest for this episode of the Split Screen Podcast is myself. So just me. Just a very solo mission. Not that kind of solo, as in I'm the only guest. I'm the only one that's going to be here today. But this is a very special episode. Stick around. We're actually going to talk about the fact that it's been a busy-ass month for Bollywood. I mean, October 2016. I don't think we've had as many trailers, news, and not even like bullshit news, like, you know, look at this song being choreographed by some guy. Like, big casting stuff. A lot of shit went down this month, and I kind of want to jump on here and kind of share my excitement and my thoughts with you guys. So that's what this episode is going to be about, mostly just taking a look back at this last month, all the trailers, all the news that's fit to print in Bollywood today. So please enjoy. Everybody, so there's a lot of show to cover today. Like I said, and again, I'm sure someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but this has been a busy month for Bollywood. I mean, there's been so much shit. I don't think there's ever been a busier time when it comes to news from the Bollywood industry. And I'm talking about like big major movie trailers and casting news and just reveals and again, and not even talking about the controversy and the scandals, the Pakistani actor stuff, the emotional, you know, revelations of directors about certain, you know, controversies that affect the whole country, but for some reason we're focusing on Bollywood only. Anyways, as I've learned from fellow nerd and sort of geeking guy Kevin Smith, we don't want to talk about the negative shit. There's no point of spreading terribleness to the world. Let's talk about the good stuff. Let's talk about the stuff that's come out that gets us excited as movie fans and the things that we want to focus on, and more particularly I want to rant about. So the first thing that I want to talk about is something that I haven't seen a lot of people kind of talking about. There wasn't much fanfare when it came out, or the news, the casting, whatever, but everyone here knows, I mean, maybe if you don't listen to some of the other episodes, I am not a big fan of Tiger Shroff. I'm indifferent with bias, let's say. His first two movies I didn't really watch or give a shit about, Baghi and Hiropanti. His last movie, A Flying Jatt, I was a little bit interested in. The trailer looked amazing. I gushed about it in another episode. And he looked to kind of have a good sense of comic timing. Again, from what little I've seen in the trailers. It's sad because I don't think the movie's done well commercially. However, some pretty good sources tell me that it is a fun movie to watch. So let's see what he does. I'm officially interested in Tiger Shroff's career. I want to see what kind of stuff he does. And on that note, his next movie is actually something that I would be personally interested in, because I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. And apparently his next movie is called Munna Michael, where Tiger Shroff basically plays a character who is a big fan of Michael Jackson, a dance student who has his own class and he teaches other students apparently, and he's a dancer himself, and he wants to, you know, he's a fan of Michael Jackson. I don't know what else the movie's going to be about. Apparently it is a love story, sort of a thing, a love triangle kind of a scenario. The lead actress cast in the movie is a newcomer, Nidhi Agarwal. But there's two things that Munna Michael's that's interesting about this movie. First of all, there's a controversy about the fact that the director, Shabir Khan, I believe his name is, apparently he did steal the movie from some other guy. But it's Bollywood. You know, I could spend a whole episode talking about that like I did with the Kriti thing, but no one's going to give a shit, so let's move past that. The interesting thing is, first of all, Tiger's a he's a good dancer. Let's not mince words. The thing that impressed me about his role in Baagi when I saw the trailer, and I've never said this about a guy, but I'm like, wow, this guy, he can do splits. He twirls like a fucking champ. And that applied to a dance setting. Anyway, we've seen what he can do in a Flying Jet, the song videos and stuff like that. But he's a good dancer. No doubt about it. I just saw an Instagram video or something of the footwork. There was just a video that just came out recently of him and, I guess, his crew training. And the video is just shot from the feet. Like, you don't see who it is, who their bodies or anything. And holy shit, it's hypnotizing. Like the footwork, I'm like watching it. I'm like, do you want me to stop smoking? Like, what is this video? But the other thing about Munna Michael that's supremely interesting, and based on everything I just told you about the movie, you don't expect this person to be in this movie. But this movie's got, in the secondary lead hero or supporting role, our good friend, Nawazuddin Siddiqui. And while that might not seem like it's, you know, that out of the ordinary, you gotta hear what he's playing. He's playing a dance student under the tutelage of Tiger Shroff's character. And this movie is going to work as apparently some sort of a love triangle between Tiger, Nawaz, and the newcomer, Nidhi Agarwal, and their characters. And this is interesting for two reasons. Now, there is a first look, there was sort of like a reveal of how Nawazuddin Siddiqui's character is going to look in this movie. But before we talk about that, when the director and everyone's talking about Nawazuddin's casting in this movie, they're talking about that this is going to be a very different role from what they've seen. He's actually going to learn to dance. He's going to, you know, you're going to see him shaking his hips and thrusting his pelvis and the thing is, from everything they're saying, it doesn't sound like it's going to be in a sort of satirical or parody. Like, I don't think they're going to make fun of the fact that, hey, look at this guy who doesn't look like a hero trying to look like a hero. Sort of what we got from Shah Rukh Khan in Rab Ne Bana Di Jodi. I don't think it's going to be like that, because from everything they're saying, it sounds like it's going to be a very straight-laced, serious, you know, depiction of Nawaz as a dance student. And if you didn't believe that when the director said it, you got to look at the first image. And again, all these things are going to be linked in my show notes, so feel free to pause the show, go back onto the browser, check the show notes, and see what I'm talking about. But Nawazuddin, they released a look of him made over in this commercial, very mainstream Bollywood hero look. And guys, it doesn't look bad. Badass character actor Nawaz, Gangs of Fucking Wasseypur, Raman Raghav 2.0, looks fucking ballin'. This is why this is cool, okay? In Bollywood, most actors are supposed to look like that. They're supposed to be good-looking men, you know, who are mainstream and they're, you know, conventionally good-looking. The best thing about guys like Nawaz or Irfan are they have a sort of talented look. They have a distinguished look about them, not because of any superficial reason, but because they're fucking badass actors. And so for Nawaz to make his stake to fame with roles like Manji and, again, all the other movies that he's done, and then go for a more conventionally appealing look and do it convincingly, to me, is a lot more impressive than some hot guy coming off the factory, you know, the Bollywood hero factory machine, and just killing it. Taking nothing away from those guys, but this is fucking amazing. You gotta take a look at this picture. So this is why I think everyone should be really excited for Munna Michael. You've got Tiger Shroff's dance skills in a movie that seems very meta-suited for his talents. And like I said, if the kid can't act, give him shit that he can do that's in his wheelhouse, similar to Flying Jet. Nawaz, I am looking forward to seeing him in sort of a more commercial, conventional Bollywood hero role. I want to see if they do play it straight or if it is going to be more satirical parody that, oh, this guy who has no chance gets a shot with the girl compared to this hulking, you know, ab guy, whatever. Munna Michael, let's take a look what happens with this movie. And again, as soon as any trailer drops, obviously I'll try to come back and discuss it with you guys or write something up, so stay tuned for that. So let's move on to the next bit of news about a trailer that just dropped. I'm going to go in chronological order, guys, because again, a lot of shit happened this month. If I don't keep track of it some way, I'm going to go nuts trying to run through everything. So speaking of hulking monster heroes with abs, let's take a look at the Force 2 trailer from John Abraham. Again, the link to the trailer will be in my show notes as well. You can go on YouTube, take a look, come back and hear me unpack it. So we've talked about Force a few times in this movie. We took a look at another episode when we talked about Rocky Handsome, where the director was the same director who did Force. And we talked about that a lot at length because Force was a pretty decent action flick. It was kind of a, you know, it came out of nowhere. I believe it is a remake of a South film. I'm not 100% sure, but it was an interesting movie. You've got Janelia D'Souza, who was the girl in that one, and her sweetness compared to Johnny Abraham's, you know, I work out, you know, sort of a motif. Worked well. The movie devolves into a pure revenge story by the half of it. But again, it's interesting. It went back and forth. The narrative was good. It was really fun. And it was good. Best part about it, the debut of Vidyut Jamwal. And if people know who this kid is, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know who this person is, hit pause, check out anything of his, come back, and then you'll understand the context with which I'm about to gush about this guy. Force, to me, was one of the more recent examples of a villain. A movie where a villain was given as much importance as the hero. They weren't written off. They weren't cartoonized. Force was a good movie. Let's leave it at that. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's a great action movie. It's got some heart. It's got some spectacle. Really good performance all around. The supporting characters are amazing in that movie. If you remember the guy who was the evil brother in all the Suraj Bharatiya... Bharatiya? Fuck it, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Monish Bale's in this movie, in Force. And he's fucking amazing. If you were wondering where the fuck is Monish Bale, that's what he was doing. Granted, Force is a couple years ago, but whatever, watch it. Force 2. So the trailer looks just like Force. It looks like just a mindless action movie that has twists and turns and you know, crazy stunts and action and blah, 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 blah. Here's the part that you need to know about the Force 2 trailer. First of all, it looks like it continues the story from Force. The thing that I always hate about Bollywood movies is how there's no sort of convincing hierarchy when they do like the police drama or the, you know, the I'm from Interpol bullshit. My biggest complaint with Don 2 was how does Priyanka Chopra go from a know-nothing character in Don to all of a sudden heading an international wanted fugitive case for the fucking Interpol? That makes no sense. So this movie is similar to that, but basically what they do is they point out the fact that John Abraham in the first movie was a street cop in Mumbai who moves to, you know, because of some unforeseen circumstances, he gets caught up and essentially has to work a case with, you know, another sort of, you know, Indian intelligence agency like RA, which is like the CIA, and he has to work with them to sort of bring down the bad guy who wants to destroy shit or something. Who cares? It doesn't matter, guys. The villain, the story here doesn't matter. What you want to take a look at is John Abraham's back. He plays the Mumbai cop who's completely out of his element in this international setting, which is amazing. Rarely does a Bollywood movie continue the story forward from the first movie, especially in a movie like this where you don't need to continue the story from the first movie. It's an action adventure. You can just put the same character in a different setting and say, go, shoot shit, punch people, take your shirt off a couple of times. But they did that, but they still did that. They continued the story over. They point out the fact that he's out of his element. It's kind of like a fish out of water story. And he's paired up against, and again, there's buddy cop elements to this too, people. He's paired up with Sonakshi Sinha, which is awesome because she went from Akira, which we talked about in another podcast. She was in Akira, which again, flopped at the box office. No one cared about it. But she seems to be going through what I hope is a sort of rebranding of her image. She's playing like this no-nonsense, you know, raw agent who's paired up with John Abraham's, you know, violent, you know, ask questions later and punch fists and flex muscle kind of guy. And she looks good. She's kicking ass here just like Akira. Her role doesn't seem to... I didn't see any songs where she was dancing. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm excited, guys. Like, I hope this is something more for Sonakshi. I hope they don't pair them up romantically, because that would just be cheap. And the cool thing too is the villain in this, they're going a completely different route than Jamwal. They've got Tahir Raj Bhasin I'm pretty sure I butchered the name. But this is the kid that was in Mardani with Rani Mukherjee. And he was like a good sort of intellectual, you know, antagonist in that movie. So it feels like this movie, he's kind of playing a similar role because there are scenes of him talking to John, you know, all menacingly and bullshit. But Force 2 looks amazing, looks strong. It's coming out November 18th this year. So hopefully we'll take a look. And but I know a friend of mine, it just recently watched Force. You guys will know about Kathy from accessbollywood.com. She recently watched Force. She's a diehard Vidhu Jamwal fan. So I'm pretty sure she'll be watching this. Although, again, Vidhu's not in it. But hopefully, there might be a cameo or something. I don't know. Let's hope. Who knows? Oh, no, there won't. He died. Whatever. Flashback. They'll bring him back. He maybe has a twin brother. Who knows? All right. So let's move on to the next thing. Now, this is a bigger bit of news. Like, if you weren't caring about Tiger Shroff and fucking John Abraham's muscles, you'll care about this. Because everyone will care about this. We should have cared about this. Maybe the filmmaker should have cared about this to make this a little bit better. But let's talk about the Bay Fikre trailer. Okay, so we've spent the better part of, I think, I'm going to say almost a year talking about this movie. This movie's, we've seen nothing. Usually you'll see a first look of a movie a month before, then you get a teaser, then you get a trailer. This movie's been in the news for a while, and it's an innovative campaign. They, again, if you can get a recap in some of the other episodes, we've talked about this movie a few times. The kissing movie that we all assumed it was, because all the marketing promos and posters featured the lead couple, Ranveer Singh and Vani Kapoor, just fucking making out, like, consistently. And it's just like, what is this movie about? Why are you showing me uncomfortable images of people making out when I don't care about that now? It's 2016. Like, show us something different. Sadly, we would be disappointed with the trailer because it wasn't anything different than the same old hookup, stand-up sort of movie that we've seen 100 times. This time, the Bay Fikre trailer kind of takes us through the beats of what the movie's about. Ranveer Singh's character, Vani Kapoor's character, meet. They hook up for a night. She doesn't want anything serious. He seems kind of upset by that, but goes along with it because, you know, he's a dude. And eventually, we can all see where it's going. Someone's going to develop feelings, love, heartbreak. Oh, sad song, happy ending. Honestly, this is kind of shit. Because for, again, a better part of a year, we were promised something different. The director of this movie is Aditya fucking Chopra, who basically redefined, you know, certain genres in Bollywood every time he made a movie, not counting Rab Ne Bana Di Jodi. He made Dilwale Dulhaniya Le Jayenge, which, again, redefined the typical love story romance angle. It redefined making movies. Forget the story. It redefined making movies for audiences who are not in India, the NRI crowd. We know all about movies that have milked that to death since. Mohabbate, again, another movie where, again, it was lighthearted, it was fun, it talks about the bonds of love, of not being able to move on. Sure, it was a little bit flighter than Dilwale. And then you saw the deterioration in his quality with Rab Ne Bana Di Jodi, which was like, what the fuck is this movie? With Bay Fikre, he promised us something different. He promised us something that was a risk for him, apparently. Which, hey, it's great. You're one of the biggest fucking production companies of India, of the Bollywood industry. Do something different. And the thing is, Yash Raj Films, his production company, is responsible for some great smaller independent movies as well that have come out. They've distributed it. They've produced it. So when this head fucking filmmaker of the Indian industry wants to say he wants to take a risk and do something different, we all, you know, scooch up to the edge of our seats and, you know, put our hands on our chins and go, show us. And what we got was crap. Again, there's not much to say about this movie because, it looks fun. The music seems great as usual. And both the actors look amazing because, of course, they have to look amazing because, of course, they take their clothes off a shitload of times in the trailer alone. But that's it. That's all the movie seems to be about. There seems to be no substance to this film. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I do like Vani Kapoor. She seems to have this distinctive look, which, again, you know, controversy says there was Botox and surgery and work done. But, again, who cares? Like, she's a good actress. She's a good actress. Who gives a rat's ass about what she's done behind the scenes, whatever. So Bay Fikre, big disappointment. If you want to watch in the theaters, great. I don't think you need to, honestly. unless people come out and, you know, kind of go nuts with the critical success of this movie, I'm not as excited anymore. I feel like this is Ranveer's paycheck. You know, after Bajirao and all these commitments to heavy movies that he's done, I feel like this is just his way of going, fuck it, let me just do something light and chill. So, let's move on from this as fast as we can, and let's go to something a bit more closer to my heart. If you're a fan of the show, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a massive fan of Ram Gopal Varma. Hold on, don't turn off the show, you gotta listen to my justification. I'm a big fan of Ram Gopal Varma from a while ago. I mean, not recently. I honestly, I've even checked out. I haven't even seen a lot of his films recently, just because nothing's really interested me. I mean, I know some of them have been good, but then he does shit like, I don't even know. There was this Bruce Lee movie that a trailer came out where it's just a girl in a sports bra and like shorts punching things in slow motion with her breasts heaving everywhere. And I'm watching some like upskirt video of some perv. Like, I don't want to see this anymore. So nothing he's done recently has really interested me. But you can't deny, love him or hate him now, you guys can't deny that Ram Gopal Varma was essentially, like, you know, a great filmmaker back in the day. And for those who don't know who Ram Gopal Varma is, my biggest sort of, the only equivalent I can tell you guys, the only analogy I can use to compare him is that if Anurag Kashyap is the Quentin Tarantino of Bollywood today, Ram Gopal Varma would be the original Quentin Tarantino of Bollywood. He was the original guy who did these gritty, crime-filled movies with swearing, cursing, brutality, and just craziness. And, you know, he kind of created or, like, highlighted that genre before someone like Anurag Kashyap came and blew it out of the pot, or, you know, out of the water even more. Movies like Satya, movies like Company, amazing movies that Ram Gopal Varma's done. And he's done, his filmography is massive. He's done a lot of Rangila, holy shit. Lot of hits, lot of misses. But when he does do something, it's always interesting. So anyways, Ram Gopal Varma has released this month, confirmed and released first look images of the cast of Sarkar 3. And if you don't know what the Sarkar movies are, go back to and listen to one of the inaugural episodes of the Split Screen podcast, where the Sarkar franchise is basically Ram Gopal Varma's tribute to Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather, which he remade in the first Sarkar. He did the second Sarkar, which we haven't taken a look on the show yet. But that was a while ago. I mean, the original Sarkar was 2005. The last Sarkar was 2008. So this would be, you know, 10, 11 years after the original movie. And holy shit, like, I'm excited as fuck to hear this. And then you look at the cast of this movie and fucking just go apeshit. Like, holy crap. We've got Amitabh Bachchan returning as the title character of The Godfather. This is where it deviates a little bit from the original Godfather. You know, as in he's still alive. Spoilers for a movie from 40 years ago. After that, you've got joining the cast. And again, if you know this podcast, you know what a big fan I am of this guy. Jackie Shroff, playing apparently an antagonist in Sarkar 3. He was in Jazba, that where we talked about. I love Jackie Shroff. He was in Parinda, which was another podcast we talked about. Jackie Shroff then was amazing. Jackie Shroff now is even better, because he's senile and crazy, which just makes it so much better to see him on screen. He's in this movie as apparently a character named Sir. And again, all the pictures of these first looks are on the show notes. Feel free to go and take a look. We've got, are you ready for this? Manoj Bajpayee coming in. I don't know if he's playing a bad guy or not, but I think he's playing like a gray character. Then you've got, hold on to your fucking hats, Ronit Roy, who's coming in as basically Sarkar's right-hand man. So Amitabh Bachchan's, you know, supporting role, his guy. And Ronit Roy, for if people don't know, again, is Anurag Kashyap sort of, you know, regular. He's been in movies like Two States, where he played the, you know, kind of estranged father to Arjun Kapoor's character. I love Ronit Roy. He's I mean, this guy doesn't do enough movies as he should. Movies he does do, I don't see a lot, because it's kind of like he chooses weird roles, or he'll play wicked roles in weird movies, but amazing actor. He's in this. Then you've got Bharat Dabholkar. He's a supporting actor, character actor. If you see who I'm talking about, you'll know who he is. He's been in a lot of South movies as well. Next up, we've got Rohini Hattangadi. Probably fucked that up too. Now, this actress, for people, if you're into Bollywood and if you see her face, you will have those anxiety flashbacks to characters in movies from the 80s and 90s who were terrible mothers. She embodies like the stepmom, the terrible mother-in-law, or someone. She's the terrible, terrible mom. That's what her claim to fame is. She's coming back in this as another villain in Sarkar 3, which, oh my God, stop. Don't stop. I love it. Next up, we've got Yami Gautam. Now, Yami Gautam is, again, one of those upcoming actors. I love her. She's been in some amazing movies. Vicky Donner. She was in Badlapur for a glimpse. She's in the upcoming Kabil with Hrithik Roshan. Amazing. She's in Sarkar 3. Let's do it. Next up. Now, this is the cool part. Amit Saad. For guys who've seen Sultan, who've seen Kai Poche, Amit Saad is one of those kids, like a very Rajkumar Rao type. He's up and coming. He's done some wicked movies. Not the biggest roles. Kai Poche, I think, was his biggest role. But he was in Sultan, and he stood out with guys like Salman and Randeep. He stood out. He's in Sarkar. Coolest part, if you know the Sarkar franchise, Amit Saad seems to be the only character other than Amitabh Bachchan who's returning. I'll tell you why. His character is that of the kid from the first Sarkar movie. Obviously, it's been recast because he's older now. But the kid was... Basically Amitabh Bachchan's character's grandson. His first son was KK Menon, played by KK Menon. And in the first movie, spoilers if you haven't seen Sarkar, you know, similar to The Godfather, basically. KK Menon's character was the first son of Sarkar. He was killed because he essentially betrayed the family. He was killed by the younger brother, who was played by Abhishek Bachchan in the first and second movie. Sarkar, I don't know how I forget this. I buried the lead here, guys. I'm so sorry. Sarkar also was one of the first movies where Amitabh Bachchan and Abhishek Bachchan did play father and son. Legend, his son, even better actor. This was also the year that Abhishek Bachchan really turned it around. Before that, he was like this blubbering mess of a, you know, wannabe hero. 2005 with Sarkar is one of the movies where he really turned it around and came into his own as an actor. Let's not talk about him now because he hasn't done shit for a while. But Amit Saad's in this, playing a returning character who, if you've seen the first movie, you'll kind of see how this is an interesting role to be in, because who knows how he's going to react to what's going on in the settings. But I'm excited for Sarkar 3. I can't wait for a fucking trailer. It's Ram Gopal Verma. If you even look at these stills, the stills are done in classic Ram Gopal Verma format, where it's all like these, you know, foreground, background, focus shots, these, oh my God, it's good. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. Go watch the first two Sarkars. Come back and talk to me. But let's move on. I've rambled enough about the shit I like. Let's talk about the shit I think a lot of you guys are going to like. I like it too. Don't get me wrong. It's just I prefer shit like Sarkar more than, you know, what I'm going to talk about next. But our boy, some of our most favorite actor, is coming up in a couple of movies in the next year or so. But we're going to talk about the interesting and unique marketing and what looks like a very interesting movie, Dear Zindagi. Because see, there's a hard D, there's a soft D. That's confusing. It's late, guys. So, Dear Zindagi. One second. So, Dear Zindagi is basically the follow-up to Gauri Shinde's amazing movie English Vinglish from a couple of years ago, 2012, I want to say. But if you've seen English Vinglish, Dear Zindagi looks exactly like that. It has similar themes of, you know, a coming-of-age story about a young girl trying to figure out her place in life, going through, you know, work-life balance, personal situations, and essentially learning to embrace shit that life throws at her, from what we understand. On this journey with her is what seems to be like her mentor or therapist. As the trailers are coming out, it seems like more like it's her therapist. But the girl is Alia Bhatt, Bollywood sweetheart. And her therapist mentor is Shah Rukh Khan, the king of Bollywood. So it's an interesting dynamic. Let's quickly just recap, you know, the things that happened with this movie. First of all, when this cast was announced, people lost their shit. When Gauri Shinde, I forget who it was, but someone announced that, hey, Shah Rukh Khan and Alia Bhatt are doing a movie together, people lost their minds. because obviously the natural assumption, that's just how we've been trained growing up on Bollywood movies in general, is that they're playing romantic leads opposite each other. And people went apeshit. She looks like she's fucking 12. We know he's 50 plus. What the fuck is this noise? People lost their shit. Some of us, some people were like, well, let's, maybe they're not. You know, we'll see. And then I think at one point someone did come out and say, hey, no, they're not playing romantic leads. Calm your shit down. As the trailers have been coming out, it's more and more apparent that they're not, obviously. Also, somewhere buried in the news archives, I find out that there's actually other actors that have been cast opposite Alia Bhatt in the movie for different phases of her life in the story. Kunal Kapoor, Aditya Roy Kapoor, and Ali Zafar play, you know, her romantic interests in the movie at different phases of her life. So anyways, the movie itself, apparently they're foregoing the conventional, as I talked about earlier, you know, teaser poster, first look poster, teaser trailer, and then the full trailer. And then the movie comes out like the next day or some shit. So they're foregoing that in Bollywood, apparently, with this movie. The way this movie's been marketed so far is they released the poster. Great. Before that, they did some cool little Twitter, Instagram videos of Alia Bhatt asking Shah Rukh Khan's character for advice. Shah Rukh Khan responding in these weird, you know, sort of showery video messages. It was weird. Anyways, it was weird, kind of cute, but so apparently they're just going to release these teasers. So far we've had two. The teasers are basically these snippets of scenes from the movie out of context, which is more sort of lighthearted stuff. You know, and they're calling it, they're doing it like a meta film thing, like, you know, take one, take two. So take one sucked. Take one was nothing but Shah Rukh Khan spouting some lines about his dad and then them running back and forth from the water in the beach and then them biking down the street where she falls and he makes a joke and leaves. It was very weird. It gave you no idea of what the fuck the movie's about, which is fine. It's a teaser. It's not supposed to do that. But it didn't give you even a tone of what the movie's supposed to be about or what the movie's going to be about or be like even. Whereas Take Two was a bit better. It kind of, I guess, shows their first introduction, at which point you do understand that, okay, I think he is her therapist. Although what we get from the teaser a little bit is that maybe she's not there of her own will. She seems a little grumpy. So it looks interesting now, right? It looks pretty fun. And again, like I said, Shah Rukh Khan, the best thing that I like from the Dear Zindagi teasers is that Shah Rukh Khan doesn't come off as Shah Rukh Khan. My biggest complaint with Shah Rukh Khan, and I'm sure a lot of other Shah Rukh Khan haters will agree, not that I'm a Shah Rukh Khan hater. Yeah, I am. No, not. A little bit. But a lot of people will agree that Shah Rukh Khan in any movie, you really have to work hard to not see Shah Rukh Khan. You really have to try so hard to see the character he's playing and not the actor, because he's such a larger-than-life personality. He's such a massive sort of guy that it's really hard to separate him from his roles, especially because sometimes he doesn't play a different character. He plays this loud, sort of dominating presence on screen. So, and he's always over the top with it too. He's always forcefully charming. He's always, you know, just dominating every scene he's in and taking the spotlight from any other actor that's in the scene with him, in the frame with him. But in this movie, in what little we've seen of Dear Zindagi so far, he seems to be really low-key. He seems to be really held back. And I'm loving that. Like, for a movie like this where he could easily be over-the-top charming, it seems like he's kind of holding back a little bit because it is not his movie. You know, and I hope the movie plays to this, that as much as Shah Rukh Khan is in this movie, and he's the second lead, essentially, the story and everything else we've heard doesn't seem like it's his movie. Even in the poster, Alia Bhatt has top billing. It's her name, then his name. You know, arguably the biggest superstar of the Bollywood industry gets second billing. You know, so I like that, and I hope they play to that more, and I hope they do realize it's not his movie, it's her movie, as much of a significant role as he definitely will have. I'm in, I like it, I like where it's going, it seems very interesting, and let me know what you guys think in on Twitter or whatever else. All right, so let's move on from Shah Rukh Khan and Alia Bhatt, let's move on to another Khan. Now, this is the movie that I was talking about when I say we've been waiting for shit like this for a while now. And this is, of course, I'm talking about Aamir Khan's Dangal trailer. And this is the shit that came out of fucking nowhere. We got a shitty, muddy poster, a literally shitty, muddy poster like a year ago from this guy. And then we got an actual poster with, you know, the other characters in the movie that are playing his daughters. And then no announcement, no big drawn out thing. I think they just said 2 days before the trailer was coming that the trailer is coming. And then the trailer came and we all fucking cried and lost our minds because this trailer looks amazing. For people that don't know, this movie is essentially about a true story where a failed Olympic wrestler from India, from what looks to be Haryana, deducing from his accent, essentially a failed Olympic wrestler who didn't win the gold medal for India in wrestling, pins all his hopes and dreams on the prospect of his son or sons achieving this dream for him, only for him to have 4 daughters in a row. So heartbroken and disheartened, he kind of gives up his dream, only to realize, surprise, surprise, girls can do the same shit boys can do? What? So that's basically what this movie seems to be about. But there's some interesting things. Again, the trailer is very wide-ranging. We get to see a lot of character development for Amir Khan's character. I forget his name. Mahavir Singh Phogat? Phogat? But there's a lot of character building for him. There's a lot of scenes with his interaction with his daughters in the movie, which some of the scenes are like, holy fuck, like borderline abusive. The good thing that I like about this movie is, and again, I depending on how this works out, the director is very unreliable. It's directed by Nitesh Tiwari, who so far hasn't really done movies to this scale. I mean, he's done some comedies like Bhootnath Returns, and most of the writing crew is also from Bhootnath Returns, except for one guy who's from Kill Dil, a movie that I love. Shut up, all of you. This cast, I mean, it's besides Amir Khan, there's not even any like recognizable, you know, supporting characters in this movie, which is the weirdest thing for a movie of this scale with Amir Khan. And it's, you know, it's so weird. It's just that, why is there no one else in this movie that we know? I mean, I think the mom character we recognize, but no one else. Even the crew, Bhootnath Returns, what is that? Like, and to go from that, and again, not that I'm saying that it might not be amazing, it still might be an amazing movie. I'm just kind of surprised at the lack of like known faces in this movie. Although his daughters, the actors who are playing his daughters, look amazing. Everyone seems to be doing a good job. Everyone seems to be like fucking on point in this movie. The one thing, again, I'm concerned about, and again, like I said, the filmmakers behind the movie don't really give me much hope, is that, again, throughout the movie, there's a sort of weirdly sexist vibe, which It's kind of like they're being sexist and then they sort of redeem themselves like 3 scenes later in the trailer with something kind of progressive. Like, you know, oh, no one but my son can do this. Fuck. And then literally 3 scenes later, it's like, maybe women can be like men. And you're like, okay. And there's a lot of other shit too where it's like, you know, like he's... And the character even says in the trailer that, you know, don't get me wrong, I love my daughters, but only a son can fulfill my dream of being a wrestler. And then literally the next minute he says, you know, I realize now that, you know, gold is gold, no matter if a son brings it or a daughter brings it. And it's like, oh, great. You know, you're kind of overcoming your own sort of, you know, cultural biases or whatever. But again, you look at the characters and the girls in the movie, his daughters that he's training to become a wrestler, all have short hair. Their femininity seems to be really toned down, and it's kind of like I don't know. I hope the movie addresses this. I hope we kind of talk about that a little bit in the movie, that they discuss that, because at the end of the day, and again, there's going to be a lot of comparisons with this movie and Sultan, because the topics are so very similar. You know, wrestling, and they seem to be happening in the same state of Haryana, because both Amir and Salman sports sort of a Haryanvi accent. I could be wrong. I don't know, guys. I'm not a linguist. Correct me if I'm wrong, though, on Twitter. But there's going to be a lot of similarities. But if you take a look, there's Salman Khan movies and then there's Amir Khan movies. I went off on a rant about this on Twitter with some people. But for a Salman Khan movie, for you to like Sultan, you need to know Salman Khan movies. There's a lot of shit in Sultan that you have to, that we forgive, because we know it's a Salman Khan movie. Hey, it's a Bhai movie. It's supposed to be like that. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Amir Khan movies aren't like that. You don't need context or understanding of the industry or of the actor or the director to understand what kind of movie this is. You can jump in. Amir Khan movies are some of the movies that most non-South Asian people I know start watching Indian movies with. PK, Dhoom 3, Three Idiots, Lagan, Like, they're the most accessible movies to people that don't watch, to audiences that aren't familiar with Bollywood, because his movies aren't specific to the Bollywood genre. Okay, Dhoom 3, maybe. But his movies are sort of, they're not, you don't need context of Bollywood to enjoy an Amir Khan movie. Whereas you look at a Salman Khan movie, if you don't fucking understand Bollywood, you're not going to watch that movie and like have any sort of fun. I could be wrong. If you're someone that did watch any Salman Khan movie completely for the first time and loved it, please, please, please get in touch with me. I'd like to see if you exist. So Dungo, again, I'm loving it. Fucking, it looks like a wicked ass movie. A little bit concerned about the depiction of the girls in the movie and the gender roles and things like that. I want to see how that plays out. I'm hoping, again, I feel like the amounts of sort of, you know, unintended misogyny we got in the trailer was intentional. I feel like there is comments that have that will be made about that in the story of the film somehow. So let's see. Let's see what happens, guys. This is coming out. This is the last, Dungal is the last release of 2016 for Bollywood. So I'm there. Like, this is Star Wars or Rogue One, and then I'm watching this. Those are my two movies in December that I'm watching. So yeah. So moving on to the next one, let's go to another movie. The next movies are kind of going to be kind of, yeah, well, we're winding down, so why not? Not that anything could beat Dungo, but it we kind of switch gears a little bit. We come to the Kahani 2 trailer. If anyone's seen Kahani, again, one of those movies that you don't need any context. You can come in cold, love it, not Bollywood-like at all. The first Kahani movie was amazing. Vidya Balan, you know, probably cemented herself as one of Bollywood's most influential actresses with Kahani. She did it before, too, with A Dirty Picture and things like that. But now she's coming back with a sequel with one of my favorite directors, Sujoy Ghosh. The sequel, the trailer is fucking amazing. It's a riveting thriller. In the same vein as the first movie. And it's interesting as hell. I mean, the trailer begins with a ransom demand for a little girl. We see Vidya Balan on the other end of the phone. And essentially, she, while trying to rescue her daughter, presumably, wink, wink, she gets hit by a car and essentially goes into a coma. And it's a trailer. I'm not. Is there? Do you guys need spoiler warnings for trailers? I don't. It's a 2-minute trailer, right? You can just watch it. It's fine. I'm just trying to put some context in this shit. So the first part of the trailer essentially, I feel like, mimics the first part of the movie, where while this character's in the coma, the police are investigating the hit and run and discover the weird shit about her, about the fact that she's wanted for murder and kidnapping, putting into question, is this even her daughter? What's going on? There's all this shit that comes out. The investigating officer, who is the second lead in this movie, essentially, is Arjun Rampal, which anytime Arjun Rampal is in a movie, I think should elevate the proceedings, depending on the director. And because it's Sujoy Ghosh, this team of Kahani is fucking amazing. I'm pretty sure they're going to get some good performances out of Arjun Rampal in this one. So he's a cop, just investigating shit, finds out that she's all murderous and wanted and shit like that. And then halfway through the trailer, Vidya Balan's character wakes up, and I guess the story kind of continues with more twists and turns and mysteries and things like that. Amazing trailer, very riveting. It's a thriller to end all thrillers. My takeaway from this movie, if you know me, I'm very wary of sequels. I'm very tired with the Bollywood model of sequels and franchises, where nothing continues, where nothing carries forward. And there's a lot of sequels coming out in the next couple of months. Again, in this roundup alone of sequels that are, trailers that have been dropped this month, we've got 3 sequels. And I'm really annoyed by how Bollywood sequels don't carry over. The guys from, you know, Bollywood is for Lovers, Matt and Aaron, I love something that they say, which still doesn't dull the effect for me, but they always say that these sequels for Bollywood where, you know, part two has nothing to do with part one, but still carry over the same elements, they call them not story sequels, but more thematic sequels. And I get that, and that makes more sense, but it's kind of like, why don't you just call it something else? If you think about the fact that every fucking Will Ferrell movie is essentially a thematic sequel of every other Will Ferrell movie. But they're brand new movies. They're called something else. They're not, you know, old school 1 to 14. So I don't understand why Bollywood can't just make a new movie with a different name and market it as the same guys that brought you XYZ before. So I like that in Kahani 2, the story carries forward. Like I said, for Force 2, I like that some elements of the first movie carry forward. In Kahani 2, Vidya Balan seems to be playing the same character. You know, a Vidya Bagchi, or Vidya, inside joke, watch the first movie. But that seems to be it. There's no other elements of Kahani, of the first movie, that carries over into this sequel. Which is odd as shit, because why is this the same character? And do the sequels of the first movie play a part in the weirdness of this, you know, of this movie? It's kind of like the suspense mystery thriller. But it's just hard to kind of get away from that. As much as I love this trailer, as much as I want to watch this movie, it is being touted as a sequel. It's Kahani 2. And I'm just wondering, will these guys do something similar where brand new story, similar concept with, you know, different characters and just call it Kahani 2 for the fuck of it? Or will the previous movie have a bearing on the story of this movie? The one thing I did find out is there is a character in this movie that was in the first movie. But again, he doesn't seem to recognize or remember being in the first movie. There's this cop, the bumbling cop guy from the first movie. I believe he was the guy that, you know, didn't know how to use a computer. He was like the captain of the, or, you know, the in charge of the precinct that Vidya Balan was in the first movie. He seems to be in this movie too. He seems to be playing the same character in this movie too. But he doesn't seem to remember or have any idea who this person is, who Vidya Balan's character is, who he had a lot of interaction with in the first movie. So, again, I feel like this is going to be sort of a Munna Bhai franchise situation where you've got some characters from the first movie carrying over, but in a completely different story, who don't know each other and just kind of do a brand new thing. Which, again, I don't care. Still good. Just kind of irks me. Just a little bit. A little bit. Speaking of irking me a little bit, let's move on to the next movie trailer, which irks the fuck out of me. Hrithik Roshan starring Sanjay Gupta directed Kabil. I'm going to need a minute before we get into any Sanjay Gupta movies, so just bear with me. So Kabil. Now, I feel like I should clarify. There's been some conversation on Twitter. I like Sanjay Gupta, guys. He's done good movies. I've probably watched almost his entire filmography. And as hard as it may be to believe, I haven't had a problem with his filmography. I know. It's fucked up. But hear me out. His movies are interesting. The shit he's done, I mean, you sit back, you kind of forget what you're watching. You don't critique it too much. And they're enjoyable. Gante was another inaugural episode we did earlier in the show. We compared it to Reservoir Dogs. Oh, because by the way, you'll hear a lot of fucking Sanjay Gupta on this show. Sanjay Gupta is infamous for making, remaking, being inspired by movies of other genres and other industries and things like that. There's a point in his career where all he did was make fucking remakes. Reservoir Dogs, Wrong Turn, U-Turn, the Sean Penn J-Lo movie, I forget. Oh my god, he just recently redid the South Korean movie that we talked about on our podcast with Juzba. Oh my god, guys, just movies up the ass where he's just remade everything and anything. Old Boy, he's remade Old Boy. But here's the fucked up part. Those movies weren't terrible. They were good, they were fun, they were enjoyable as shit. If you start picking at it, sure, there's things that don't make sense, but they were so fucking good. Musafir, that was the movie that was from U-Turn or Wrong Turn, whatever. Sanjay Gupta movies, not bad, not terrible. I think Juzba is the only one that I truly hated. Other than that, though, I like Sanjay Gupta movies. I like the guy. He's a good storyteller. He's a good, you know, they're fun, they're action-packed, they're interesting, they're done well. Get off his back, guys. Fuck. But here's the problem I have with Kabil, and this is why it's really hard for me to enjoy the trailer for Kabil, because you've got a director that's kind of as divisive as Sanjay Gupta, then you've got an actor starring in this movie who up to I guess recently has become just as divisive. You know, people kind of either love him, hate him, or just don't give a fuck about him. Hrithik Roshan, I'm a huge Hrithik Roshan fan. I've liked his movies for a while. I'm not a big fan of the Krish movies. But I accept the fact that, okay, these movies aren't for me. So I don't need to be a fan of these movies. I don't need to like these movies. They're not really for me. I loved Guzarish. I thought he was kind of on this upward trend with Guzarish. And then he did, you know, what he did recently, Mohenjo-Daro, which, yeah, probably not the best comeback vehicle. But in Kabil, the trailer looks pretty good. It's kind of a weird trailer, though, because I feel like the first half of the trailer kind of focuses on the love story. The second half deals with the actual premise of the movie, which is essentially a revenge movie. Which, again, Gupta is very familiar with revenge movies. Again, he's remade a lot of revenge movies that other people have made. So that's what the movie's all about, guys. It's just it's a revenge movie. His again, I'm not spoiling anything. The trailer kind of spoils this for us. But Yami Gautam is opposite him in this as his lover. He plays a blind guy in this, however, which is the interesting part. And essentially, something terrible, terrible happens to her, which seems really tragic. And someone's responsible. And Hrithik Roshan, playing a blind character, essentially vows to hunt them down and make them pay. That's the premise of Kabil. Which, again, sounds fucking amazing, right? My only problem with that is, again, Sanjay Gupta, as amazing as movies he makes, the story sometimes, when you start looking closer, fall apart. And Kabil is one of those movies where I feel like the stories are just going to fall apart. First of all, as far as a revenge movie goes, Bollywood revenge movies, a lot of the times, especially the superficial ones, are really underdeveloped. You've got just the hero deciding to take revenge either very impulsively or for an unrealistically long period of time, relying on obscure coincidences. Shit like, you know, you killed my father and you're a gangster, so I too will become a gangster 20 years from now in hopes that our paths cross and I fall in love with a girl who may be your daughter and that's how I get my access to you. It's half-baked, you know? Or the other shit is just, it's right away. Like, it's like, my loved one died. Revenge! And that's it. And somehow they carry it out by the end of the movie. And this movie seems just like that. This movie seems very underdeveloped. He's blind. How will you get revenge? The trailer doesn't really give us any sense of, is he, for someone who is blind, is he super capable? Does he have a special talent that allows him to be, you know, different from other people? Is he Daredevil? Oh my god, let this be a Daredevil movie. I don't know. And the trailer doesn't tell us. It just hears him say some vague shit to someone about taking revenge. Okay, upside of Kabil. Guess who's also in this movie? Ronit Roy. Looking like a badass motherfucking villain. Which, again, makes me want to watch this movie. Ronit Roy being directed by Sanjay Gupta and fucking Hrithik's in the back somewhere doing some inflection thing with his voice. Sure, I'll forgive that. I'll watch it for the first two. That's the only thing that I'm taking away from Kabil. Yami Gautam's in this, so you know it won't be bad the times she's on screen. She's interesting. She's fun. Yeah, I want to see what she does in this movie. Other than that, Hrithik is just doing his thing that he normally does. He has two modes, which is so weird. He either has, like, I'm a muscular, deep-voiced hero role, or anytime he pretends to play someone who's relatable or just an everyday human being, his voice goes all high-pitched and he speaks like he's challenged or something. I don't know. I can't explain. Maybe it's just my impression of his role from Koi Mil Gaya, but I get shades of that in this trailer, and it takes me out of the movie. It just takes me back into Koi Mil Gaya, which is not the movie you want to be thinking about when you're watching a movie, or, you know, expecting to watch a movie like Kabil, which is a revenge movie. But that's what we're getting, so we'll see how it goes. Again, like I said, I hope it's a good movie. I hope his performance is appreciated. Like I said, I like the guy. I think he's a great actor. He just gotta fucking, like, choose better shit. God damn. Oh, and the other thing that I ranted about on Twitter with Kabil, you guys notice, if you watch the trailer for this, there's no filters, guys. Something's wrong. Our boy Gupta's growing up, guys. He's not using filters. So that's it, basically. This is all we've got for this edition. I mean, this was a pretty, for 50 minutes of just me talking, God, I feel bad for you guys. I feel like I should apologize. I'm not going to, but I feel like I should, because wow, I get tired of hearing myself talk for this long. But thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking out this whole time. I really appreciate it. Like I said, I was excited about all this shit that just came out over this last month. I wanted to share it with you guys. I wanted to talk about it with everyone. And this is my opportunity. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys had fun. And I hope you'll be back for more. We're going to do the regular shows. We're going to do comparisons. Feel free to tweet me, mail me, leave comments on Facebook with your suggestions of movies you want to see remade. If you want to be a guest on the show to discuss a Bollywood movie or any other industry movie that was remade from another movie, feel free to do that. Definitely come on the show. I would love to have you. I will promise to shut up and let you say your piece. And if not, you know, we'll edit some shit out. It's fine. So thank you once again for listening. This has been episode 20 of the Split Screen Podcast, where we rounded up Bollywood movie news for the last month. And if you did like the show, please subscribe to it on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. We're everywhere. We're on Facebook. Blankpagebeatdown.com is the website. If you don't have any sort of podcasting app, you can go on to blankpagebeatdown.com, listen directly on your browser. If you have iTunes, please leave a rating and review for the show so I'm motivated to do more of these. Also, I like the flattery. I'm a vain person, if you don't know. I've said this a bunch of times because, you know, I talk about myself a lot. But I would love the feedback. Even if I'm doing a bad job, let me know. Let me know what you guys want to improve or would like to see me improve, because, you know, I'm the one doing this shit. And also, again, if you want to tweet at me, feel free to go ahead. I'm on Twitter. My personal Twitter is TheShahShahid, at TheShahShahid. The show can be found on Twitter as well, at SplitScreen_pod. And email me anytime you want, shah@blankpagebeatdown.com. That's S-H-A-H, like the one of Iran, but a hell of a lot nicer, I hope, you hope, maybe. Thank you once again for listening, and this is me signing out. Happy Diwali, happy fucking Halloween, guys. It's weird that these 2 days are together, but it happened, and we're celebrating it. What a world. Have fun, have a good night, and again, I'll see you next time.